right? But Pentecost is every bit as significant as those two holidays. Because just as Christmas is about Christ coming in the flesh and Easter about his resurrection from the dead, there is just as much significance with Pentecost, because it's that time where we acknowledge that Christ, his Spirit, the Spirit of God, has come, not just to the earth, but in these vessels of ours, which is pretty amazing when you think. I mean, if you've ever been in a position where your house wasn't so clean and somebody rang the doorbell and was visiting, what do you do? Men, I don't think we really care. Oh, come on in, you know. But women, they flip out because the house has to be just so, right? Because you want it to be clean and presentable. And I've been learning that after 20-some-odd years of marriage, you know. But imagine now, apply that metaphor to our personal lives with Christ. That he would actually want to move into this house blows my mind. Blows my mind because it's not so tidy. It's not so clean. In fact, some of the rooms are so messy, I don't even know if I would want to put an animal in them, all right? But yet Christ comes, and he says, I want to dwell in you. I am giving you my Spirit. And that is a big part of Pentecost, that God would be willing, that God would be desirous to move into these frames, regardless of how messy they are, what is going on inside them, so that he can spend time with us, so that he could know us, and we, most of all, could know him. And that is a significant day to celebrate. In fact, that's what we should be doing today. In fact, I've been thinking every Sunday is about Pentecost. Christ has come. If we have accepted him, he dwells in us, right? And it should always be about coming together here today and to celebrate him. Now, if you're anything like me, maybe you've had a messy week and you're saying, I don't know if I feel up to celebrating. I've been kind of beaten up. It's been rough. It's been turbulent. It's been up. It's been down. That's okay. God knows that. And I want to tell you, that is real life. But let's take that and let's take it before God and say, Lord, here I am. You came into me when I was in complete darkness and I gave myself over to you and you moved in. Here I am. As I am, I come to you, Lord, inhabit this house. Once again, inhabit this house afresh and new. I welcome you in. Please, oh God, be with me today. Let's do that. Let's stand together, can we, as we prepare for worship, and let's pray together. Oh, Father, Lord, we are yours. Lord, whether we realize it on a daily basis, on a moment-to-moment basis, we are yours and we give ourselves to you, O God. Thank you for loving us so much that you would take us as we are, Lord, with the hope that as we draw close to you and get to know you, Lord, that you would change everything about our lives, O God, from head to toe, inside and out, O God, that you would begin to transform our lives. Lord, send your Holy Spirit today, your presence into our lives, and transform us because we are a people who need your touch. We need your presence. And with that, O Lord, we enter into this moment. We want to celebrate. Help us to lift up our voices regardless of the week that we had, regardless of anything that's gone on that discouraged us or is even damaged our spirits in some way, O God. Renew us, refresh us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, this morning as we go to the Word of God, you know, it kind of dawned on me in my times of preparation that although we remember that Pentecost is but one day's events that took place, the effects of Pentecost live on, even to this day. So what I hope to do with you is to continue on a series of messages entitled, He Changes Everything. Because God is continually at work through his Holy Spirit. And this morning I want to go to a very familiar portion of Scripture on the day when it all began, because it had to start somewhere. And that day was the day of Pentecost when the Spirit came and rest on those who took up Jesus' instructions, followed them. Maybe we did not fully understand what the effects would be and what would actually happen to them, but they did it anyway, even though it was an uncomfortable situation, meaning Jerusalem was not a place that was welcoming to, even though Christ was dead, and in most of them, other minds was buried, and that was done and over with, the pursuit of anyone who would still believe in him would continue on. These people would be hunted. And so to remain in Jerusalem was not like maybe their decision if they were left up at one, and they were, but they chose to take up what Jesus said and asking him to remain. And that's where I want to pick it up with you this morning. We're going to look at Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. Here we go. English Standard Version. And it says this: when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared on them and rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together. In other words, they were outside while the others were inside an enclosed building, and they could hear that sound as well, and it got their attention and brought them to their feet and out onto the streets. And as they came together, they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak, meaning the disciples speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are all not these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians? We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean? What does this mean?" And over time, that question is going to be answered. I was once again taken up with the fact that God would come in this way. And it's always, when God comes and visits us, he knows exactly what he's doing. When he gives us a gift, he knows exactly the proper gift. There is no standing in line or standing in front of a shelf and going, "What should I give my children? What should I get them?" He knows exactly what he wants us to give his people. And the fact that he would bring and give the gift of tongues is of no surprise, because God is all about communication. Jesus came and he communicated. And just as the Holy Spirit is revealing to us here today, Jesus took time and included everyone, spoke to anyone he crossed paths with, people that no one else would talk to. Roman centurion, who was an invader, an occupier. It didn't matter to Jesus. He would talk to him. He would touch that man's life. He would talk to prostitutes, outcasts in society. They were labeled and marked indelibly sinners. Yet Jesus would take time to talk to them. Nearby foreigners, such as the Samaritan woman at the well, Jesus would spend time with her. No one else would. It was part of the reason why she was out at the well at one of the hottest times of the day, because she was a loner. She too was marked, separated, slated to be ignored as often as necessary because of the way she lived her life. And certainly by any visiting Jews that would come across that well, she would not be spoken to simply because, one, she was a woman, and to add to that, a Samaritan woman, an outcast, separated. Jesus didn't withhold his words or his touch to such people as lepers, those who would be considered unclean, not to be touched, not to be gone near. But Jesus would go near them and speak to them and even touch them. The crippled, the forgotten, the blinded, it didn't matter. Jesus spoke to all of them. So when you think about the nature of Christ and the nature of the Father in the Son, it is no surprise that when the Holy Spirit, who is the other person in the Godhead, would come in such a way to give men and women a language that would make a difference in someone else's life. And in this case, a lot of foreigners. We could count about 17 or 18 different cultures in Jerusalem on that day, and God covers them all and leaves nobody out, even if they're not even mentioned here in Luke's record in Acts chapter 2. God mentions and knows them by name, each of them, and he is going to cover them. And they are not going to be left out because God is not an exclusive God. He's an inclusive God. Not only is he interested in our lives, but he's an interest in everybody's lives. Isn't that the heart of John 3:16? That God should so love the world that he would include everyone in his address, in the offering and the gift of salvation, because God is all inclusive. And he loves to communicate. And he loves to bring people together like we are here today. Now, I want to say that there was a time when God could be accused of someone who divides a people. In fact, Pentecost is thought of as Babel reversed. Right? Most of us are familiar. For those of us who may not be, Babel in the Old Testament was a place where men joined together who at that time spoke but one language. They were unified. The problem was they were heading in the wrong direction. And they felt that they were going to do something as a joint effort. And this is what Genesis chapter 11:4 records them saying. And then these men said, "Come, let us build ourselves," not God, "ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. And let us make," listen to this, "a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth." What we're hearing is self-recognition, control. And in that, in their hearts, opposing God. And sometime later, the Lord is recorded as saying that, "Come, let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, let us go down and confuse their language." God dispersed them. He gave them, enough of them, different languages so that they couldn't communicate. They couldn't plan. They couldn't plot. They couldn't scheme. And so the very thing that they were trying to control, God caused to happen anyway. Because you see, isn't he the one that's always in control? They didn't want to be dispersed, but that's exactly what happened. Because at that moment in their hearts, they were opposing God. And so God, in my opinion, in his infinite mercy and wisdom, gave them different languages so that they had to go off and disengage, cancel the building project, and go off and do something else with their lives. Probably figure out how they were going to live and function and communicate with one another. And so at that moment, God is dispersing and dividing. Now, we all know in the Bible that everything God does is good. So if God is doing this, he must have good reason. Well, fast forwarding up to today, up to Pentecost, we know that his good reason is coming into play right now. You see, because he is reversing the process, because now is the time. Now is the time for people to come together to hear his message of love, grace, to bring them back together under one roof. Now, that doesn't mean they were all going to live in the same culture. and even speak, all begin to speak the same tongue. But God inserts willing members of followers, of believers, who would be willing to do his bid and fulfill his purpose. And so he gives them, each of them, enough language to be able to communicate in that city to everyone that's there. Now, isn't that something, that God would care enough that he would go out of his way to do that, to communicate with us, with mankind? And I want to say to you that that is the reality that you and I live in. God loves us so much that he goes out of his way. He's so wanting, so desiring to communicate his love to us, his direction, his care, and on and on and on. We just have to be willing to follow his lead. And that's what we have here today. In Acts 1, 4, and 5, it says this. This is Jesus' instructions, and this is exactly what those in that room did with their time and their will, their free will. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem. This is Jesus' instruction. Stay right where you are, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Here's Jesus telling them, listen, you're a part of my plan. You've always been a part of my plan. I am bringing together, I am doing a new thing, and you are a big part of it. But this is what you need to do. You need to stay put. You need to be faithful. You've been listening to me. You've been following me. You need to go to distance. You need to stay where you are. My Father keeps every promise he makes. And if you stay here and you follow in my instructions, soon you will experience the presence of the living God in your mortal bodies. Soon the gift of the Holy Spirit will come and make all the difference in your life. See, because this is the identity of the church, of any believer, whether they are a part of this church or some other church, that they would be identified because the Spirit of God dwells in each of us who believe. In fact, Paul later on says that it is God's stamp. It's our passport or our driver's license or any other significant piece of identification that people should be able to identify you and I by, is that the Holy Spirit lives in us. And so I thought, how does that play out on a day-to-day basis? What is God doing? And what about this issue of tongues? Our speech, our daily words, how we communicate with one another, and how we communicate with the world. You see, because I believe the Holy Spirit came to transform us. We look at Pentecost as one day that happened that gave these people new language. But it is the Spirit that brought it about, and it's the Spirit that nurtures it and cultivates it and causes it to grow in each of us as we remain in that place with Christ, as we continue to follow his instructions. He visits us and he gives us what we need. So I wanted to look at a few scriptures today of the need for why we need the Holy Spirit to transform our lives and transform our language and transform the words that we use or choose to use with one another. And the first scripture I want to look at with you is James 3:11. James 3:11. There we go. And James writes this, Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? We don't have to be scientists to know that answer. That a spring is either going to pour out one or the other. There was a time when there was a certain kind of fluid that came from our lives and from our words. And the Lord came along and he purified that. And his work to purify that continues on. There is a dividing line where Christ comes and he changes. Now, often we think about language and words, A lot of times we get locked onto, well, I don't curse. Okay, let's go beyond that, though. You see, because my words, whether I curse or not, can discourage, can hurt, can wound people. And so it goes beyond vulgarity and what any one of us would consider today a curse word. It goes beyond that. What is coming forth from our lives? We know before Christ, B.C., that it probably wasn't what it should have been. And then Christ comes and he changes that. We look at Proverbs 51. Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer, I would deem that fresh water, turns away wrath, but a harsh word, let's call that today salt water, stirs up anger. I think you would agree with me that if you had the choice to go to a tap and turn it on to drink something, and it, one side tap said fresh water and the other one said salt water, I doubt very much any of you would go, oh, a glass of salt water, that's exactly what I want. And you would hit that tap. Because you'd end up, like any of us, going, spitting it out. Of course, we want fresh water. Why does the Holy Spirit need to come? Because it's about delivering fresh water, turning away wrath, bringing healing. Do you and I, we need to realize that we have the ability and the power to bring healing into people's lives just by coming up alongside them and speaking. A kind word, a gentle smile, an embrace. Look at with me Proverbs 16:24. It says this, gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Sweetness to the soul. Many of you probably know, in case you don't, you know, Kathy was hoping to be here today. She was having the weekend off from caring for mom, but unfortunately, she was in a car accident this past week. And I have to tell you, I thank God it could have been so much worse than what it turned out to be. But even though she was hoping to be here today, she had a really bad night. She's really in a lot of pain, very sore. Peeked in on her this morning, and she was out cold, and it was like, I'm going to let her rest, because I know she was up and down during the night. And many of you, I know, have been praying, whether you text me or not, whether you shot me an email or not. And so I know that we were in your thoughts. And I want to tell you, that was sweetness to my soul, knowing that you cared enough to do that, that you cared enough for Kathy, that you would include her in your prayers. You see, this is what God has called us to do. This is how he changes and transforms our lives, because there was a time when probably we can probably admit that we only cared for ourselves, but God calls us to care for others. And a lot of times that is physically as well as emotionally as well as verbally. And our part is to listen and to follow and to give. Now, why? Because I really do believe that we live in perilous times where our words can be misconstrued, misunderstood. We live in a world where text messages and email have replaced face-to-face verbal dialogue, or even on the phone where we can communicate. And I have to tell you, I have never seen more so in this past month how words can be misunderstood, how text messages carry no tone, no inflection, no heartfelt sentiment. And man, it's so easy to get ourselves in hot water with words like fine. You ever read a word in a text and all of a sudden the fire from somewhere comes and like you're feeling your back heat up, you know? And you're going, what? I want to tell you that's not the Spirit of God turning on the stove. That's someone else saying, do you hear what he said, what she said? Or another word is, my. What do they mean, theirs? You know, I mean, it's so easy to misconstrue, and the enemy's going, yep, 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 yep. Do you hear that? I'm telling you, it's so easy to get off track. And the Bible tells us that there is one but one person that is the accuser of the brethren who looks to cause a divide and separation. So I want to look at a couple of scriptures with you that speak to the dangers that can happen because of my mouth or sometimes my fingers when I'm texting. And the first one is Romans 3:13. Gentlemen upstairs, Matt, I'm going to apologize to you today because I got it backwards today, okay? But you got it. I'm just acknowledging that, okay? Romans 3:13. Their throat, Paul says, their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of the asp is under their lips. Paul's using the metaphor of a snake. I really do think that we need to be mindful that in a given text message or an email or on Facebook or Snapchat or Twitter or whatever else we can use today to communicate with one another can set on fire a person unnecessarily, poison a relationship. Look at James 3:6, speaking of fire. James says, and the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire. Listen, the entire course of a life. And set on fire, it's set on fire by hell. It's connecting the loose tongue, the thoughtlessness that sometimes we can fall into unknowingly, unwillingly, as something very dangerous that can leave a burning effect on someone's life. I need to hear that. I need to take it in. I need to personally look at that, especially someone like myself who likes to kid around and joke around. I've seen on more than one occasion where I've crossed a line. And if that person didn't come back and say, you know, you said this and it made me bleed. They didn't say those words, but that's actually what they were communicating. It hurt. And thus giving me the opportunity to ask for forgiveness. But if someone doesn't do that, we can unknowingly go around and be wounding a lot of people. And the last one, Proverbs 18:21. Now listen to this. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. In other words, you and I, by what we say to one another on a day-to-day basis, moment-to-moment basis, can make a difference in someone's life. Can give life or can give death. And those who love it, in other words, with the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. And that fruit can either be good and wholesome and fresh, if it's the words that we've spoken in love bear good fruit, or can be rotted and old and stale, and maybe even poisonous fruit, things that shouldn't be eaten when we go out foraging. It can happen that easily. And it's all by what happens up here that stems from here and comes out to others. And so I say all this to say, do you start to begin to see the need for why the Holy Spirit not only needs to come one day in our lives, but every day in our lives? Why we need to be in tune with God in that time, in that space where we're meeting with Him on a daily basis, so that He is working in our lives, making me more mindful of His presence, so the things that I say to others, whether it's with my mouth, or my body language, or my facial expressions, that these things would encourage, not discourage, that they would build up and not build down, that they would continually make a difference in people's lives. See, and that's only going to happen, not as I focus on self and my own human nature, but it's when I put myself aside, when I would go before God and ask Him, oh Lord, I need Your presence in my life every bit now than I did when I first came to You. Every bit as much, if not more, than when I first experienced Your presence and Your Spirit in my life I need that experience over and over again. I need to be renewed. I need to be refreshed. I need to know that I can turn to you and trust you and speak with you. And I want to tell you, this affects every relationship we can have. Husbands with our wives, wives with our husbands, parents with their children and with their youth. You know, because I've been thinking this week that as much as we all speak the same language, for the most part, quite often we speak past one another. Right? And man, I remember when my children were teenagers, how easy it was to speak past one another. And even though we all spoke English in our home, it might as well have been we were speaking a different language. Because we weren't connecting. We weren't meeting each other where we were, each of us were at. Brothers and sisters, neighbors and friends, all these relationships require our care. And if they're going to be healthy relationships, they require the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And so I don't know about you, but I'm finding that God is drawing me to that place. And a lot of times he is allowing me to feel uncomfortable, which is driving me back to him and asking for his aid and asking for his presence. And though I am not enjoying the ride sometimes, it's exactly where I need to go. Because I realize, God, there's a reason why you've allowed me to feel this. There's a reason why there's difficulties in relationships. There's a reason why you're allowing me to go through that, because you're trying to teach me something, trying to show me your way through this journey of relationships with others. And so it is for us. Our part is to seek him out. Follow him. Listen for him. You see, because I believe that in doing so, you and I can have an experience where we watch the Holy Spirit come and transform our lives. And that's what we need. See, that's what Sundays are about, right? We come here, we pray together, we worship together, we seek God together, and it's all in the hopes that I, personally, when I speak for myself, would not remain the same. That God is continually making changes in my life that he sees, whether I do or not, he sees that need to be made in my life. And hopefully my awareness will catch up with the accuracy and perspective that he has for my life that would match up with his care for my soul and where he wants to take me, where he wants to take the church. And all it amounts to is us to be willing to remain in that place with him, to go and meet him there, to hear what he has to say, and to have him transform our lives, to not depart from his presence, but to seek him out, to wait and not rush off. How many times have you looked to go to the Word of God or to prayer, and something else was on your mind? Something else that you had to do today. Something else that had to get taken care of. As if we didn't think about it, it wasn't going to get done today. It's a distraction. Need to put that aside. Wait on God. Spend that moment with him. Because when you're done with him, spending that quiet time with him, you and I will be in a better place. And by the way, that thing that you were thinking about is still there. And it will get accomplished. But you have given God what belongs to God at that moment, your heart and your time. And I believe, and I think you do too, that when we do that, good things are going to happen. That God's hand of guidance through the Holy Spirit will be on us that day. That the words of our mouth, the body language that we use with one another, our look, our glance, our hearts, the Spirit in us, his Spirit in us, will come through to other people. And you would be amazed how often the people that God brings us in touch with are the very people who need his touch. And we happen to be his representatives. And he is sending us to them, whether we realize it or not. So we do well to be aware, first and foremost, every day of his presence in our lives, and to seek the Spirit's touch and fullness in our lives, and then to go out and take what has been given to us and give it away to other people. To pray and ask for the Holy Spirit. And that's something that we need to be doing on a day-to-day basis. Because in doing so, we're saying, presence of God, fill my life. Father, fill my life. Jesus, fill my life. Holy Spirit, fill me so that I might live as you would have me to, and that you might use me in the lives of other people. And maybe then, we will see people around us, people we know, family, friends, coworkers, whomever, at some point be amazed and maybe even perplexed and say, what does this mean? What does it mean? That we might give someone else a reason to scratch their head and go, what's different about her? What's different about him? Because he, she doesn't treat me like other people do. There's something different. And I know each of us, if we were asked that question, have the answer. And it's right on the tip of our tongues. Christ is that answer. His Spirit is that answer. Grateful to be able to share this time with you today. As we wind down, Pastor Nick is going to come and play. But I want to ask you if you might join me this morning. You see, because I am one who stands before you, who realizes that that the Spirit, I need the Holy Spirit every day. I can't live without his presence in my life. And I need to pray. And I want to take a moment this morning and ask. Yes? We didn't show the video. Save that for next week, okay? All right. Okay. We'll save it for next week. What's that?
Next week, Father's Day. We've got a different video.
Okay. Well, we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit, so that video won't go to waste. Thank you, Tony. I want to invite you, if you would. If, for some reason, this morning, you find yourself in a similar position as I do, I need the Holy Spirit to come to do a work with this tongue and in this heart. I need the Holy Spirit to transform my life. Even though he has begun that work and he is continually doing that work, I want to go before him this morning and saying, Lord, publicly, I'm asking you to come. Continue your work in me, because I realize so often I desperately need your touch in my life. And unless you inhabit me moment to moment, day to day, it just will not go well. Will not go well. So if you by chance, and I don't mind to stand up here alone today, I really don't. I do it pretty much every week. But if you feel a tug, if you feel a similar feeling, if you feel a sense that there's something about the way you communicate that you would like to get your and give to God so that he can wrap his loving arms around it, I want you to come up and join me. And I'll give you a minute or two. Consider that. We'll pray together in a circle. Take your time. Okay. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we come before you, oh God. Lord, each in our own way, acknowledging, oh God, that we desire your touch, oh Lord. Lord, that we understand that even though you have touched us and you have begun a good work in us, oh God, we desire that you would now continue that good work. Lord, we realize that quite often we don't communicate as well as we should. We don't pick up the phone when we should. Instead, we text or send out an email when we should take the time to care enough for the relationship we have with the other person to make that call, to put on the brakes, to take a breather from the hectic cycles that we find ourselves in. Lord, will you help us in that way? Father, would you help us to be prayerful and consider before we open our mouths, oh God, before we approach someone, to prayerfully consider your touch in our lives and to ask for your aid and your assistance, oh God, that we might ask for your help. Lord, we love you. And Lord, we acknowledge we are but flesh. But Lord, you have given us your Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you. And we ask, oh Lord, that you would come afresh and anew. That Lord, that we would be mindful of the Spirit's power. Be mindful of the Spirit's presence. Be mindful that we have every opportunity. That there isn't a moment in any day and anywhere we are at that we don't have the ability to stop, to pause, to reflect, and to say, Lord, I need your help. Holy Spirit, come and fill me because I'm not sure how to handle this situation. I'm not sure how to address my brother, my sister, my husband, my wife, my teenager, my child. And I need your help. I need your help because I don't want to say the wrong thing. I don't want to come off in the wrong manner. I want my words to be words of health and life, not of discouragement and harm. Lord, we want to be able to refresh those whom we love. Lord, help us. We need your touch. We ask you humbly, and we do this all in the name of your Son, our Savior. In Christ's name we pray, and the people of God said, Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, the Spirit of the Lord is here. I can feel his presence ever so near.
And in worship,
as we lift him up in worship and praise, as we magnify his holy name, he will touch us if we only believe. So open up your heart and now receive. Cast aside every doubt and fear, for the Spirit of the Lord is here. Oh, the Spirit of the Lord is here. I can feel his presence ever so near. As we lift him up in worship and praise, as we magnify his holy name, he will touch us if we only believe. So open up your heart and now receive. Cast aside every doubt and fear, for the Spirit of the Lord is here. Cast aside every doubt and fear, for the Spirit of the Lord is here.
God bless you. Don't forget the brunch downstairs. Stick around for fellowship. Go in the peace and love of the Lord.